from Slam Dunks.
Wow!
And if you think a unicorn is rare.
Oh, my God.
The buzzer beaters.
Tice throws it down with two hands.
The home of the Boston Celtics. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports Talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you feel appreciated by them, and do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth. Look, man, that is a tough question. Yeah, I mean,
your wife seems to indicate. Yeah.
I think everybody in general wants to be appreciated more at work.
Tom Brady with Jim Gray saying he wants to be appreciated more. That's what he's saying. He says he pleads the fifth and then says everybody wants to be more appreciated. And I'm guessing by him saying that, he's including himself, speaking at the Milken Institute Global Conference. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. He is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com. Hi, Dan. What do you make of this comment?
Oh, please, just stop. It's obnoxious. Cry me a river. They traded Jimmy G to make this guy happy. We all love Tom Brady. Great winner, greatest ever, all that stuff. He gets it all, of course. Everybody wants to watch him play football. But this tour, this poor me, I'm not appreciated tour, the Tom versus Time and Giselle planting the stuff out there and all these cryptic little things just being planted out there. Is anybody else just sick of this?
Well, it bugs you, huh?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's like, just, you know what? Just say, I don't feel appreciated. Or just say,
well, I did that.
There's nothing there. There's no story there. You know, of course I'm appreciated. You know, I love my job. I love my coach. I love my owner. I love the fans, all that stuff like that. But no, it's this little by little, just bleed it out there just so that it keeps going. And then stand up there like Mickey the Dunce and say, I don't know what everybody's talking about. I love it here. Everything's great. You know, which is it? He wants this narrative out there, and it is. But then when they get called on it, there's no answer, including Jim Gray. And Hardy was right. Good follow-ups there, you know, back and forth, as good as he can get for Jim Gray, I thought. But again, I mean, aren't you tired of it, Beetle?
Well, I think you're making two different arguments here, though, Dan. Number one, and I think it's a good criticism, just say it. Tom, you don't feel a priest, just say it.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
just come on and say,
I feel like
we've got something wrong here, and I don't feel appreciated enough. Oh, all right, at least he's right to the point.
Yeah.
The other part that you say, though, do you feel like he doesn't have a right to feel that way because Jimmy Garoppolo got traded? I mean, those are two different things.
Well,
because not being appreciated and having an issue with Bill Belichick or anybody else could have predated any trade or preceded that.
See, I go,
you know, whatever happened with Jimmy Garoppolo, those are sort of different things.
I go back and forth on this to where you listen, I'm thinking, okay, Garoppolo's getting more money than him. It's his backup. It was his backup to three Super Bowl runs. So as players, you always look at it as the money. You always want more money.
Uh-huh.
But then we want to be more appreciated. Like, you sound like Randy Moss. So I think he's got more money than he's ever needed. You listen to it. This is about what I put into it, my approach, the lifestyle that I lead, the lifestyle I'm trying to make better to other players to help them. That's not scientific. This isn't about money. This is about a lack of appreciation for everything else I bring to the table.
Okay.
And so, you know what I'm talking about.
But his coach, by the way, Dan, and this is why I bring up it's two different arguments. Mm-hmm. Do you think Bill Belichick was looking to trade Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
Okay. Well, if his beef is with the coach, then the Jimmy Garoppolo thing doesn't really factor in.
Right, but he won't.
The trade of Garoppolo doesn't do him any good. He's saying, this guy didn't want me here. He wanted to move on to Garoppolo. He doesn't appreciate me. I won the damn MVP last year, and he's giving me a hard time over using my trainer.
Right.
So that's why he might feel that way.
Right. And
how, I wish he would just say it. Just get it over with, man.
Yeah. How he feels is how he feels. But this little game of, again, just drip by drip, just letting it out there slowly, keep it going.
Because you can't air the dirt out publicly. Never has.
And then pretend there's no elephant in the room here every time they get called on it. You know, oh, it's a media story. You guys are making it up, the whole thing. I think it's established now. No one's making anything up. They don't give out a lot of information, but everybody is leaking information from every side to push their agenda. And Tom's is, I'm unappreciated, and they don't love me enough, and the coach is mean to me, and they liked Jimmy G, and it's I don't know what else he wants, but how he feels is how he feels. Just say it. Stop with this cryptic campaign of little hints and innuendos here and there. Just come out and say it.
For a guy who's so consumed with image, they are handling this all wrong.
Ugh.
To Dan's point about the leaking and the bit by bit. And I'll say, number one, in terms of his answer, yes, either say it or don't. Say, of course I feel appreciated. You know, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Or say, do you feel underappreciated? Yeah. What does a guy got to do to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? I mean, what else can I do here? Or,
well, the OTAs are going on.
What does a guy have to do to finally be told, you know what? You know what you're doing. Go ahead and train the way you want. Yeah.
And don't tell us it's a hard question to answer. It's not a hard question to answer. It's a yes or no question. And if it's a hard question to answer, then you're saying, no, I don't feel appreciated. So we will all take it and run with that.
But to the other point, whether he has a right to feel that way, yes, you have a right to feel however you want.
Of course.
You're wrong. You want do you want unappreciated? Go back to the first question of this whole session here tonight, Tom. Malcolm Butler. Now, there's a guy who has a case about feeling unappreciated. Never got paid, played 98% of the snaps while he was here, won you the Super Bowl against Seattle, and then kicked to the curb. But before he got kicked to the curb, sorry, you're not going to play at all in the last Super Bowl here. That's unappreciated.
Followed by a smear campaign.
He's completely out of touch with reality. Yes, he's completely lost touch. Completely.
Because there is a guy who was treated more, you know, worse than he was, doesn't mean that he doesn't have a right to feel that way or that he's necessarily wrong.
Yes, he still has the
Malcolm
right.
Butler hasn't won a franchise 5 Super Bowls. Tom Brady has. Okay, so the scale there is a little different.
But Malcolm,
I'm not disagreeing with you on Malcolm Butler, by the way. You're right, but I'm saying it's a little different when you're talking about.
I'm grading on the curve, and if you don't want to grade on the curve, yes, Tom Brady could still be, I suppose, correct in. Or at least a little bit justified in feeling unappreciated. But no one wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. And especially they don't want to hear it come out in drips.
I wouldn't mind
dribbles.
Hearing it. I just want to hear it instead of what Dan is talking to. The dribs, the drabs, the little innuendos, the little hints here and there instead of just saying it. Like at this point, just say it and let's get it over with. Like rip off the Band-Aid. Rip the Band-Aid off.
Dan said it's obnoxious.
And you know what else
it's
he's
obnoxious.
Doing? Do you know what else he's doing, Dan? He's then covering the tracks. So then everyone says, yeah, but he actually said really nice things. Here's Brady on Belichick.
I hate this.
Bill Belichick is a fascinating man. He really is. He is consumed with professional football. Not fascinating to you?
No, he's very fascinating to me.
Okay. Fascinating to me, and he's respectful to me.
Yeah.
And I really believe the man's a football genius.
Yeah, he is.
How would you describe him? What's it like to be around him?
Yeah. He's very respectful of me, too. You know, I think that he's...
We can tell.
Yeah. We've had a great relationship, a very respectful relationship for a long time. And, you know, I feel like he's the best coach in the history of the NFL, you know. And he has a management style of players. And it's, you know, he would say that, you know, look, I'm not the easiest coach to play for. And I agree, he's not the easiest coach to play for. But, you know, he's the best for me. And I think what he's proven is that whatever talent he has, he maximizes talent. I mean, what more could you ask of... You know, a coach than that. That's what I want as a player. You know, when I'm sitting in there, I don't want to coach. I just want to play. You know, and you need the coaches to do their job. They need the coaches to do their best. And that's what you expect. That's what you want. They want me to do my best. I want them to do their best. You know, I can't do their job. They can't do mine. And then it all works. It all comes together. And it's a hard journey over the course of the season. And but it's incredibly fulfilling, or else I wouldn't be continuing to do it. I wouldn't be continuing to want to play. So, you know, he's an incredible coach. He's been an incredible mentor for me. He's taught me so much football. Like I said, be a 22-year-old kid and to come and learn from him. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here without, you know, his coaching. I wouldn't have the success without how incredibly talented he was, along with a lot of the other coaches, a lot of the other players, a lot of the other people in the organization, because it takes everybody to do it. Everybody.
And I don't think he's lying. In any of that. He's telling you the truth. He is. It's all honesty.
Both, all these
but
things
both
can be
true.
Right.
That's both of those things can be true. He can say, I obviously am very thankful for everything he's taught me, very thankful that he's been my coach. I know how good we've been as a franchise and as a team because of his coaching and his staffs. And, oh, by the way, yeah, we're not on the best terms right now, but I still respect the hell out of this guy. Both of those things can be 100% true. Those are not directly conflicting one another. They're just not. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Get your calls on everything from today. Bruins, Celtics, Tom Brady, talking to Jim Gray. All of that on the way.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Your wife, Giselle, asked a very interesting question and made a very interesting statement as well in the final installment of Tom versus Time. She said, I just want my husband to be happy and to feel appreciated.
Yep.
Are you happy?
I have my moments. I do.
Are you happy with the people you work with and for?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. And in general, you know, I'm a very happy person. I'm a very positive person. It's just my personality. I always look at things as, you know, the glass is half full.
I'm going down.
Now that sort of conflicts with pleading the fifth when you say you're happy with everybody and everything and that everything is good. 617-779-0985. Let's go to your phones. Tony's in Shirley. Tony.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? You know I'm always fast. I'm going to get right to it. I hope Dan's still there.
I'm here.
Dan, you hit it right on the head. I only got two quick points, though, so hear me out.
How's your bleep blur?
Bleep blur is broken. I talk too much. But anyways, so, you know something? I don't care who was playing on the defense in the day that falls through the ball. I think it was more true than Brady, even though Brady threw for a buck more. Those passes should only be caught by the offensive players. If Sherman was in here in his day, in his best day, I don't think it would have mattered. And number two, he was crying on the sidelines. I think he got a text message or something. He's going to get 26 guaranteed. Guaranteed money. He was crying to tear a joy. Let's think about it. They should both kiss Belichick's butt and Brady's butt if they both ran him out or didn't play him or whatever. Grubble got so much money, he's happy. You know, you don't hear nothing from them when they left. So you don't really know what the truth is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I don't. I do. Actually, no, disagree.
I'm all
with
over
all
it.
That.
Yeah.
No.
Tony, have you been to the Bull Run?
He's not on the line anymore.
Darn it. The Bull Run, that's where you go in Shirley. Jim Gray.
Malcolm Butler did not get a text message from the Tennessee Titans before the Super Bowl.
Tears of joy.
To cry tears of joy. Nope, that did not happen. Disagree. Jake and Andover.
Malcolm, just to let you know, we talked to Belichick. He's going to hold you out of the game entirely today.
I'm trying to talk about the... I'm confused with the Patriots draft, and I kind of want to get your insight on it. So I agree definitely with the first round pick at 22, but getting the running back in the first round... Oh, 23, I'm sorry. The running back in the first round and what the insight is on that. I mean,
what insight specifically?
Well, like, what do you think the purpose is? You know, usually when you see someone like a running back like Saquon Barkley go on the first line, I mean, first round, he's going to be the bell cow. He's going to be, you know, the stud, like a Le'Veon Bell, Zeke Elliott, someone that's going to be a stud back where Patriots, you know, never necessarily have ran with that kind of field. Do you think it was kind of odd that they didn't go get help something in, like, the linebackers or defensive support instead of, you know, going with a first-round running back?
Yeah, not a fan, Jake. Not a fan of it. I would rather they have gone for a linebacker. I don't think they really, truly went after and attacked their needs in the draft. But they obviously feel that with Sony Michel, he dropped... There were injury concerns, and they really like him, and they think he could be really good. So they drafted based on who they thought was the best player on the board. They didn't draft based on need. And that's what they did. So he may be really good. He may be great. He might be going to Canton, Ohio someday. But I don't know where that leaves the Patriots defense going into next year. That's what I would say about that.
I have a question for Zoe about the draft. Are the Patriots, like, are they different from everyone else? I mean, are they reinventing the draft, like how you approach the draft?
No, I think they have a board, and I heard Mayock and company talk about this. He said when teams go up and they do their draft board, sometimes they'll have 350 names up there. So the Patriots may have 70.
Mm.
And if their key guys are gone at the positions that they covet.
They're out.
And they're off the board. They're not just going to draft a guy to draft a guy. They're going to covet another pick in another year to where they're going to, you know, try and stockpile it down the road to where maybe they may have to go get a quarterback and load up a bunch of picks to go to move up to where it's rumored that we're going to get this story here about Baker Mayfield. See, they're just not going to draft somebody to draft somebody.
Does anyone else do it this way? It just feels like their approach is...
Pittsburgh draft is great.
That they're trying to be ahead of the curve here. And
I mean, I look at the key competition, right? I mean, Pittsburgh...
they're not creating some new way of drafting. There are other teams that don't draft on need, that draft on who they think is the best player available.
Yeah.
It's not a new...
See, the Sony Michel kid, I don't think was really a need, but holy crap, he's one of the 70 best players we had on the board. He's there when we were picking. See, it tells you Lamar Jackson was not on our board. Okay?
In which instance did they give one to another team for that team's next year pick, but it was the same round? That happened in this draft.
Yeah, it did. The second rounder.
It's the first time since 2011, really.
Right. So why would
draft
you do that?
Where usually,
just because you're sure that the pool is going to be that much better next year?
Because maybe they value the next year's pool as far as the value. Yeah. It tells you this is the grade they put on this draft.
You know what? I haven't dug deep on that. I know that Ben Volen had an item on that. I just think it's different when you're talking about a high second.
You know, it's higher. It's different than a five or six.
It's not
and all
a five,
that.
And who's six, the team? Not a four, five. You're talking
who's
about ones
you're
and
traded
twos.
To, and is it really going to be at the top of that round or at the bottom? Yeah.
Because the pick that they traded for might end up being a better pick.
Okay.
Even higher up in the second round. I haven't done the research on it.
Well,
but
I don't
think
want
it's different
to. My
when
head explodes.
Yeah,
just
I just think it's different
it,
when you're talking about ones and twos.
Okay.
I would limit the research to that.
Yeah.
Is what I would do.
Yeah.
If I were looking that up. Which I don't even know where to begin on that.
Oh, I
where to look up? Where's the rundown of draft day trades?
Like I've basically recognized two names of the guys that they drafted and the group that they drafted. I know they had a ton of picks, but goes to show you that they didn't really value this draft based on their needs. And you look at some of the draft analysts out there that graded them. It's pretty much across the board B+, A-, B-, right in that area. Except Mass gave him a D for Dink.
But the notion of not drafting to your needs, who else does that? Is that done? It feels like, you know, just historically, well, we need this, so we're going to go look for this.
What do you think their three needs were?
Well, the defense.
Okay, so they got
defensive
the line.
I mean, everybody can see
they
that.
Got a linebacker from Purdue. They picked up a big free agent defensive line. You're getting Hightower back. To them and to other draft analysts, they drafted the best nickel corner available in the draft.
I don't think it's a novel concept.
Okay.
I don't.
They drafted a damn good wide receiver.
I don't have a good example to give you right now, but it's definitely happened before. Let's go to Pat, who's in Austin. Pat.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
Pat. I just want to say thank you for having me. Love the show.
Oh, glad you make it.
I had a take on Shaughnessy's perspective about Garoppolo. I think it is correlated. I think you can't separate it. I think Belichick wanted to move forward with Garoppolo, and Brady, you know, stomped his feet and said, you know, boo-hoo, and Kraft backed him. And in that moment,
he wanted to keep both. You do know, moment, you do realize they, he like, wanted both.
Okay, well, you know,
Jimmy didn't sign any deal they offered him. Credit him on that. He didn't bite.
I mean, they weren't actively pursuing it.
Bill told you we tried.
All right, so Pat, what's
Belichick's pick?
So what's the point, Pat?
When that happened, Kraft said, "Okay, you know what? Okay, fine. You know, we're sticking with Brady." And then he said, "Okay, you can't have your own guy on the sideline. You can't have your own trainer here." You know, so that's kind of when crap hit the fan. So. I don't know.
So
I,
what?
I
you don't know. Okay.
I think crap hit the fan more with the tight end than it did the quarterback, folks.
Mark is in Medford on the Bruins. I know he'll have a good point. What do you got, Mark?
I got a few points.
Go for it.
First off, did the refs suck last night? Yes, they did. Did Tuukka Rask, was he good and bad last night? Yes and yes. Did the Bruins clap down their leg with a minute and a half with 5-on-3? Yes, they most certainly did. Let's see what else. But the one thing that's really sticking up my tailpipe, guys, is that why is it so hard for them to get the puck out of their own zone? And what leads to that? Turnovers and goals. And that's what happened last night But one good bright spot of last night, two games now, Kucherov and Stamkos, complete non-factors.
Yes, and you can look at that one of two ways. You can look at that as, oh, good, they're not factors, or, oh, bleep, what happens when they do become factors? What happens if last night those guys were real factors? And then they got some chances. We talked about Kucherov on a couple of turnovers in the third period, had opportunities, and Rask had made a couple of nice saves on him.
And other ones, they're pretty much hitting him square in the chest, too.
But Mark is right. Why the Bruins have struggled to get the puck out of their own zone is beyond me, but they certainly have. It's becoming a trend that goes back to the Toronto series.
What about the Toronto series? How many times you stand up in your living room yelling, clear it! Clear the freaking puck! Yeah. You had to keep checking, looking up at that scoreboard. Is that a power play or not? No. Even men. 5-on-5.
Richie in Plymouth. Celtics last night. Hi, Richie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I think with Marcus Smart, I think in the regular season, he's probably a top 10 defender in the East, and right now in the playoffs, he's a top 5 defender in the East, and he's a key to win this series. And we need to win on the road. We really have to. I don't want to go 7 games. We're going to be too tired. We need to get one in Philly. What do you think?
Well, I think you're being kind of greedy that you need to win on the road. You'll be lucky if you can win this series. I know that was a great game the Celtics played last night, but still.
They do that for
I'm sorry,
three more.
These guys are, the Sixers, they look really dangerous. That was a bad night for them. I mean, they shot really poorly, didn't do anything well. And I don't know what that was about at the 6 days off. They just look really good to me. And I know they lost by 17 points, but they look like a handful.
They're going to hit some of those threes.
Yeah.
They're going to keep taking them. The Celtics are going to keep baiting them to take them.
Like Rozier hasn't missed.
At times.
And I mean, is Bane's going to shoot like that? I mean,
no.
He had a great game.
But I think the Celtics game plan going in was a good plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they gave, they were giving points inside if they were there for the taking. And there were still times where Philly couldn't help themselves, wanted to keep taking those threes. And at some point, they're going to hit some of them.
Oh,
yeah. They're going to hit more than they did last night.
That was a tremendous win. I'm still worried about the series. I mean,
I am too.
The notion that they got to win the road games, and they're already, if they can hold serve at home, that'd be great.
I was going to say, if the Celtics win game two, I think you're talking about a different looking series than maybe what we had expected.
I mean, their coach after the game, he said, "This is not us, and if anybody is us, it's a mistake," and I believe him.
But now he has a chance to actually show it in game two.
This does not look like the Prunty mismatch again.
No, but it would look like a mismatch last night.
It was good last night.
It did.
It was good.
Brad Stevens won. Brad Stevens has the first one. Coaching goes to the Celtics in game one. Dan Shaughnessy is with us, 617-779-0985. Hardy has our headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Series now tied at one game each after the Bruins lost to the Lightning 4-2 last night. Charlie McAvoy, now what?
We just got to stay persistent and don't get discouraged when we're not getting pucks to the net, or tonight we don't have that many shot attempts. We can't let that bother us. We got to just assess it and figure out how to get more to the net, and we will. You know, our coaches do a great job at looking over the video and figuring out how we're going to have success, so we will. We'll assess it tomorrow or the following day and get ready for game three. I mean, we're excited and we're confident in this room, and you know, this game doesn't shake us.
Yeah, game three coming up tomorrow night at the TD Garden. Last night at the Garden, it was the Celtics beating the 76ers in game one of their best of seven, 117-101. Game two, not until Thursday night. Red Sox with a win last night, 10-6 over the visiting Royals. They'll play game two of three at Fenway tonight. Chris Sale is your starting pitcher. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters in Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield, where the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I know the artist and the name of the song.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Baker Street.
Yeah?
And it's Jerry Rafferty.
Yeah, okay.
You knew that?
Yeah.
You did?
I didn't know that. I thought it was
kind of a famous song.
I thought it was singular. Well, you guys are young guys. I always think that I know stuff you don't know.
Do you even know what Yacht Rock is?
Of course not. No.
You know, Jerry Rafferty's dead now. Not alive. He's not with us anymore.
Bill Rafferty's alive. He's calling games.
Yeah.
Different names.
This is like a Philly thing, right? That's what we're doing here?
Nope. No. Why would this be a Philly thing?
Talking about Baker Mayfield, Dan.
Maybe because the Baker League was in Philly.
What?
The Baker League.
Never. You know what? Never mind.
Okay. Just spitballing here with Zoe.
Joe. Zoe, what group was Jerry Rafferty in? You know, Dan?
No, I'm really impressed that you know Jerry
you
Rafferty,
know
though. This is like
well,
really
he
good.
Also had Right Down the Line. I think that was his other
hit.
Right Down the Line. Wasn't that his other hit?
You.
Oh,
woman,
yeah.
It was right. You. Thank you.
Wow. That was fast.
You know what? We might do all Yacht Rock tomorrow. It's going to be like 90.
This is a good one. This is a jam right here.
Now, Baker Street, what's the what's the thing about Baker Street that everybody knows?
They bake the bread.
No.
Hey, come home, Bill Baker.
The song, what's the most
bake the bread.
Most famous part of the song. What's the hook? It's the saxophone, right?
Yes. Okay.
The guy who did it?
Bill Clinton.
27 pound. He was paid like $50 to record that and not another dime.
Oh, I would say that's not so good.
Studio music.
Wrote the riff. Like, just fill in the gaps here. And he not only he made the song, but Jerry Rafferty was... He lived on that song for the rest of his life.
Well, Jerry Rafferty was also in Steeler's Wheel, which had Stuck in the Middle with You.
Yeah, wow.
That's the group.
I know that. I did not know that he was in it.
He was in it.
I know that that's their one song.
There you go. It was him and one other guy. Two of them. Anyway, there's your musical trivia for the day.
That was pretty good. I could go on, but I won't.
Dan thought he was going to really impress us all.
I did.
Knowledge of knowing
I did.
Who sang the song. We play that because the Patriots may have been going down Baker Street. That would be Baker Mayfield Street. There's some reporting going on today on this very topic that seems like it's pretty good.
Sure does.
Seems like it's well-informed.
I'd say it's credible.
And, yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Seems credible. Andrew Brandt put this tweet out earlier today from a podcast with Jack Mills, agent for Baker Mayfield.
Good agent, by
and
the way.
Then he quotes what the agent says about the possibility of him going to the Patriots. Now, this is all post-draft, so we know where he landed. Number one, Cleveland. Andrew Brandt, who obviously used to work in the league, was with the Packers and now is employed at MMQB, and I think is he still at ESPN or no? I don't know. But Andrew Brandt's been around the block. Andrew Brandt had a podcast with the agent for Baker Mayfield. Here is what the agent said.
So day of the draft, are you guys expecting Jets at 3? Is that where you're looking?
We knew that was the bottom line.
Mm.
We had another team, which are going to surprise you. Another team had said, you may get a big surprise on draft day at number 2 if he's available. And it was the Patriots.
Wow. To get up to number 2.
And we thought, yeah, they had traded, you know, they had 23 and they had 31 and they had 2 seconds. And I don't know. We thought, boy, that's going to be a heck of a move to get up that high from where they are.
Right.
And, of course, he wasn't available, so nothing. We never knew if that was a reality or not.
So, again, this is a podcast, so it sounds like garbage. They're recording it in a tin can.
Sharpening a knife in the background.
Yeah, and the agent for Baker Mayfield tells Andrew Brandt on this podcast, the Patriots told us we may be in for a big surprise if he doesn't go number 1. They're looking at jumping up to number 2 to try and get him. Which means they had the Giants in conversations at some point about the 2nd overall pick.
Wow.
Albert Breer, our friend Bert, tweeted this out once this podcast was posted and wrote, so this can be told now. At Robert Klemko, also member of the MMQB staff, and I were told the Pats tried to set up a visit with Mayfield early in the process. Baker's camp said no. New England then acquired the 23rd pick from the Rams, and they circled back. And that's when last week's meeting with the Patriots was set up. because they said, hey, we've got more picks now. We're looking at making a deal. And that's when they obviously dropped this line that the agent is telling us, which is, you may be in for a big surprise at number two. You want to take this meeting or not? And they said, okay, we'll take the meeting. Mike Giardi of NBC Sports Boston tweeted out a half hour ago that there have been repeated rumblings that Josh McDaniels was lusting for the player.
That's his new
Baker
big
Mayfield.
Oh, he needs a new big
that he had fallen in love with Baker Mayfield, and the Patriots had considered making a move here to go up and get Baker Mayfield, who was taken number one in this draft.
This is easy, guys. This is easy math here. When you look at the picks that they had, five in the first 95 of the draft, and how they traded out of that second round, and who they drafted at the end of the first round, to where they're not plug in day one starters. Tells you they had the collateral to move up if they wanted to do it, if they could do it too, because they didn't value really the top of this draft. Think about that.
Wait,
they got out of 43. They traded out. They made more. They doubled the amount of trades that they actually picked players with.
Okay, they certainly valued Baker Mayfield though.
Well, they valued
his reports.
But I'm talking about everybody else. Well, they're going to get this defensive guy, this guy, or this guy, or this running back, or whatever. No, they probably had Mayfield circled as best player on the board.
Here's what I want to know.
And if he dropped, they were going to go for it.
How close did they get, and what did they offer? Oh, I hope someone gets that story.
There's a tight end in on it. I mean, Bill would trade players. He acquired players on draft day trades. It's how he got Randy Moss. Probably everything was in play.
Are you suggesting Gronk?
Yes, that is what he
said. Even
suggesting.
Though the report was, I mean, the agent got his ass on a plane to come up the week before. We're going to have a serious talk. That's very
that would have moved the needle.
Okay, but here's the other part. Was the deal in place if Mayfield wasn't selected number one? Remember, this is all contingent on him not going to the Browns. They told Mayfield,
oh, who picked number two? Who picked two, Beetle?
The Giants. We've already said that. The
What's
Giants.
That relationship with
they
Bill Belichick?
Had the phone. They had the Giants on the phone at some point. They had to have talked to the Giants if they were willing to tell the player that if you drop and don't get picked by Cleveland, we could be there. Here's what I want to know. Was the deal in place, ready to go, if Cleveland had changed their mind?
And how far could the Giants have actually gone back to still be able to get the running back? Because you know the Jets are going to take a quarterback, too, after we take Baker. I think it was in play. Based on what they did with the picks.
How do you not feel terrible about this if you're a Patriots fan?
What do you mean?
They identified the next guy,
right,
and they didn't get him.
Well, he went number one.
I mean, that's hard.
You couldn't jump the one.
That's kind of a hard standard to
hold
your team
to. I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying, pointing. Like, they finally said, you know what? We got the next guy.
They valued one guy in this draft at the top, and that was him.
Are they going to find that guy next year?
I don't know.
Is that guy going to be out there next year?
I don't know, but it's really a hard standard to hold.
And now we know why they stocked up for next year.
But so, was he a Patriot?
That, I think, is a very important point. They have the picks, and they have the
right,
you know, inventory of picks to be able to make a move.
That's why they're padding picks in case they got to go get a guy. Go ahead.
Wasn't Mayfield a little bit of a free spirit for them?
Yeah, a little bit of a free spirit, Dan. But the more and more you watch these guys throw and you go back to the combine and stuff, and you actually go and watch his games, I thought he was the best thrower on the board.
Well, he thought that.
Well, a month ago he was ranked sixth on the board as quarterbacks, not sixth overall, sixth quarterback on the board. He went number one overall.
Seem too cocky for this place.
Hey, man, if you could walk the walk and if you got a chip on your shoulder, and I'd take him over Rosen.
And of all teams, to get the guy, it's the team you didn't trade Jimmy to.
Oh, another kick in the nuts.
Because you wanted to keep him out of the conference, right?
You knew they weren't picking a guy at 43.
It's a great point.
Hey,
and Cleveland's
you imagine if 43 was in play and it was part of the Mayfield deal, you'd be able to track that. Okay, yeah, we give him Jimmy,
but
the pick we got for Jimmy was some of the collateral we went to get.
The
Baker
other part
Mayfield.
Is, had you traded him there, they may have won some games. They may have won a game or two.
Good point,
that
Beetle.
May have changed their draft position. They may not have sucked to the degree they did.
How do you think Belichick feels? Cleveland got his guy.
He could have sent his guy to Cleveland, too, last year, like you said. I mean, so back and forth. But
he didn't want to send him to Cleveland,
right,
Cleveland ended up getting his next guy.
But based on the two individuals talking on this podcast, this is pretty good stuff. This isn't two him-haws out there just throwing stuff against the wall.
617-779-0985. Back to your calls with Dan Shaughnessy right after this.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zulak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
110-94, 16-point game with 3:12 to go. Marcus Smart
Two parquet squares behind a three-point line. Gets a Horford screen. Embiid comes out to challenge. Now the push pass for Rozier. Rozier driving on Simmons. Falls away off the wrong foot and knocks it down from the free throw line.
Well, somebody go get some sandwiches and some light bread because this puppy is over.
Very impressive win by the Celtics last night at the Garden.
What kind of bread?
White bread.
I thought he said light.
Oh, I thought you said white bread.
Somebody go get some sandwiches and some light bread.
Oh, light bread.
Light.
Watching his calories, maybe.
You know what?
A light would definitely be better than white.
Sneaky bad guy. Kevin Mawai. I used to play with him. He was a center for the Jets. And just always would cause fights, but everybody thought just this great guy. He would always get cranky at lunch if he didn't have a certain kind of white bread, but it was specifically Wonder white bread. Mm-hmm. And the poor lunch ladies down there at Hofstra had to go out, and one of the ladies actually took money out of her wallet to go purchase white bread, but it had to be Wonder white bread because Kevin wouldn't eat sandwiches if he didn't have Wonder white bread. You talk about entitled people I played with. Like, you're going to hold up the
line.
Well,
it's not like he's asking for caviar.
I didn't
he's
say
asking
anything,
for Wonder Bread.
I didn't say anything. That whole roster was stacked. You had Steve Atwater. You had Mo Lewis. All these badasses, man. I kept my mouth shut that whole camp.
That was a dump, that Hofstra.
Oh, what a pit.
Weeb Eubank Hall.
It was depression. Like, you're in the NFL, but you're in depression.
Yeah, I've been in some bad ones.
Long Island blows. It sucks.
It does. You get lost going there.
I think you go to Jones Beach. You go there, and there's needles on the beach.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Peter in Jamaica playing on last night's Celtics win. Hi, Peter.
Guys, how you doing?
Good. Hey, Peter.
Okay, I've been laughed off the air for numerous times.
Me too.
Okay, so if you laughed me off the air, that's fine. I got thick skin. Before Kyrie got hurt, I was saying going forward, the Celtics would be better with Terry Rozier as their point guard. And if you'd let me explain, and then you can laugh.
Wait a minute. Do you mean without Kyrie?
Let him explain. He said, let me explain. Let him explain.
Okay. Terry's 2 years younger. He's never been hurt. He's a better defensive player. He's a better rebounder. And, you know, if they sign their cap scrap, the Celtics. So if they sign Kyrie Irving to a max contract, I mean, that's basically they're all done. And if Kyrie gets hurt again, they could sign Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart for the same amount of money as they could sign Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, when he's on the floor, he pounds the ball. When Terry Rozier is in the game, the ball moves all over the place. And everyone gets their shots. Jason Tatum wouldn't have scored that many points if Kyrie Irving was a point guard. He wouldn't have got the shots. So that's my reason going forward.
I'm not going to laugh you off the air, but I'm not going to go so far as to say that I'd rather have Terry Rozier than Kyrie Irving.
How many games would that last series have ended in if Kyrie Irving was healthy and playing?
It would not have been extended to seven.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the and Rozier, he's surprised.
I thought he was going to always count on the Celtics.
Yeah. I thought he was going to make the point.
Delusional.
I thought in order the to point they could coexist.
Love what they're seeing currently in the moment as much as they possibly can.
Yeah.
They do it consistently.
Yeah. I'd really rather have Ogilvy than Embiid when you really think about
it. Of course. Of course.
Do you like any of those 76er players, Dan?
You need to keep Rozier and dump. I can't even say. I can't even get this finished.
He made some
lucid points.
Get rid of Kyrie Irving. That way
he's
you can
not wrong.
Keep both of them.
He's
made
not wrong
lucid
about
points.
About being a better defender.
Rebounder.
He's not wrong about being a better rebounder.
Right.
There's not a premium on those qualities at the point guard position.
Right.
I'm sorry. There's not.
But you know what's one thing? The injury thing is it bears watching. And again, you think about guys like Gronk's a good example. Guys who get hurt in college.
Yeah.
And it's never really a guarantee. They right. tend to just, it keeps happening.
But the ceiling is so big, you got to keep the
player. I understand.
And I could be
Kyrie's a player, you keep him.
Yep.
I could be proven wrong, but I believe that everyone who is questioning the future injury problems for Kyrie Irving is wrong. Now, you be on your side,
but
be
history,
concerned.
History is against you on that.
Okay, but...
You very rarely see guys that have a history going back to college, and then it just all goes away.
But you're talking about his current knee injury, right?
This I understand. The infection.
That to me is not one I'm worried about coming back. That's bone-related injury.
But he had...
Not a...
He played like 9 years and 9 games in college is 1 year. And he had the thing with the Cavs when they won the kneecap. And now he's got this. And he's 25 years old. I'm just saying, it bears watching, and it should make you uneasy.
It doesn't make me uneasy, is what I'm
saying. No, it makes me uneasy.
I would have no hesitation to sign him back up and get him done on a new deal.
I hope you're right.
None. I would have none. I could be wrong. You know what? He could get hurt again in a year, and you could say, Beadle, you're an idiot.
No.
So hang on to that one.
I understand.
I'm just telling you what side of that I'm on.
The talent is so great. It's you always... Of course you're going to go there. I get that.
But that's what we're now doing. We're now replacing Kyrie with Rozier permanently. Because
remember the Crowder love?
Better Kyrie for the Celtics.
Remember the Crowder love? Crowder
that's how good
know, Beadle.
The Celtics always are.
Know.
No matter who it is.
Jay Crowder was the classic
on the
case
floor
of that.
I don't know.
And wearing the green uniform, they are instantly
Rozier
the
makes
best.
Tatum better.
Enlarged in life. Artificially enlarged.
Who was it that was Dirk? Who was Dirk? I forget.
Crowder, probably.
No. Who was that? That Tommy said. He's Dirk.
Olynyk, no?
Oh, was it Kelly Olynyk?
Sure.
Yes.
Should have kept him, too.
Kelly Olynyk was Dirk.
Can we all admit Terry Rozier's getting paid this playoffs, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Probably can't afford
Tommy's greatest.
No, he's a very good player. Danny Ainge nailed that pick. This guy can play.
Jim's probably the biggest Celtic fan in this building right now. If you had to choose between two, who'd you keep? Marcus Smart or Terry Rozier right now?
No. I think you're going to have to keep Marcus Smart because I think Rozier's going to get paid too much.
Right, and Smart's a better fit for what they need. Like,
everybody's healthy.
Everyone is healthy on the team, assuming that Kyrie doesn't go down with another injury, which I'm willing to assume. Most of you aren't, but I am. Then he's a better fit for what you need to round out your roster and have the best composition of players. If you're asking me who's worth more money in the NBA, who's a more valuable player if you're building a team, it's Terry Rozier. If you're building from scratch and you have a pick of those two, you take Terry Rozier. And then he's going to be paid appropriately.
Pete, I just had one more example of the Celtics.
Go for it. Sure, what else?
It came to me when you were talking about, remember Steamsma?
Ah, Steamsma.
Because Tommy said he blocked shots like Russell.
Yeah.
Steamsma is a giant white guy.
Yeah. Steamsma, Russell. Hard to tell the difference. I mean, they're pretty much the same player.
The Steamer.
Pretty much the same guy.
That was a great one. Tommy said that.
Craig, the Steamer, Steamsma.
He was like 7'8", and he couldn't get out of his way.
Got the Jordan? And then there was the Jordan comparison, too.
Why?
Jimmy
why
Stewart
that,
has all those
questions. Why is that fan base? And you've been doing it
why
a long
do they
time.
Do it?
Why are they so delusional?
I mean, again, they...
Have you ever seen a fan base buy into the product that they put
It's fun.
Them?
I mean, it's great.
It is.
I mean, they just love their team that much.
As Beatles said last week, this is the wrong day to do that, though. This is the wrong day to do that. If you're talking about guys buying into a product...
Yes, they're all buying in now.
Did you watch last night's game?
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm
going back to the Steamsma.
No, we're not talking about... Of course you should be buying in on the team right now.
Kelly the clinic.
After last night.
And you know what,
I can tell that Shaughnessy is starting to rethink this series because of that game last night.
I watched the beginning of that game and I said, the Sixers are going to beat these guys by 15 tonight.
First time it's never happened. You think,
They in the 30s, they get up by like 8 or 10 and that was it. They just played from behind the rest
of
the night.
I think at one point the Sixers were down...
It was like 31-30 at one point.
I was going to say, what did they cut the lead to in the fourth quarter?
It might have been six.
And I thought, it was 6 or 8. Yeah.
I was still concerned. I think it was 8. I was still concerned that they were going to lose, that the Celtics
were going
to lose.
The coach said we were never in the game.
I'm like, damn, this could be their run. You know how the fourth quarter goes in the NBA. It decides 99% of the games.
Sure.
And I thought, if they go on this great run here, they're going to close this damn thing. That's going
to
be a shame.
They got down to 6 or 8.
And the Celtics put them away.
Got down 6 or 8, and that's when Smart launched that ridiculous three from like on top the arc. You're thinking, oh, God, here's where it starts.
And it was smooth.
And they go down, and I think Horford ended up hitting the next one, and that was it.
And Beadle, we love this coach, Brett Brown. You know that, right?
Why do we love him?
New England guy, Maine guy.
Why do I care?
He plays Brian Butterfield.
Is
he an Edelman t-shirt, too?
No.
Better than Brian Butterfield?
I'm telling you, he played 4 years for Rick Pitino on Commonwealth Avenue, and his dad coached BU.
Why do I care?
Well, it's just good local stuff.
I hope he gets his brains beat.
No, he knows what he's doing. He knows
what
he's doing. I'm just telling
you. I got to root for him because he's from here?
No, I'm just telling you. He's not a dope like Joe Prunty.
I hope not. I mean, by the way, I don't think Prunty is that bad. I don't think he's got a great group there.
It was like watching.
I don't think he's good. I just don't think he's as horrible as
he had a lot of tall players. Remember I told you that last week?
That's right. Height.
These guys are tall.
Dan's dates will be coming up today at 12:50. Noontime hour on the way after these headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials.